All right. It is always such a privilege to be able to take the scriptures and look into them and see the goodness of what Jesus has done for us. And tonight, the focus of the service is, of course, looking at what Jesus Christ has done. We've already sang some songs that have to do with what Jesus has done on the cross. And we can praise the Lord. Folks, I want to tell you something. So many people don't understand what they have in the person of Jesus Christ. Honestly, without Jesus, we live our lives trying our hardest to do all kinds of works. You know what? The Bible teaches that it's not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and then not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Folks, I'm so thankful for those two verses. You know, and I'll tell you what, it's more than those two verses. God teaches us through the Word that our salvation is not based upon what we do. I can't tell you that enough. So many people and so many churches in our country, in our state, in our county, in our towns right here preach and think that they've got to be somebody to be accepted of the Lord. Honestly, we'll never attain to that. We cannot be accepted except it is through the perfect Son of Jesus Christ. And I'm so grateful that we have that salvation by faith and trust in Him alone. It is not by what we do. That's good news, folks. That is good news. And so tonight is different. We only do this, like I said this morning, about three times a year. But what we're gonna do, and the plan is to prepare our hearts for the reception of what we're about ready to do. We take the Lord's we observe the Lord's table every month on the first Sunday. We rotate between Sunday morning and Sunday night, and we observe that. Anybody remember what the focus in 1 Corinthians? Why? What did Jesus tell them? There's one key word of why we do this. You know, some people think that we are going to partake of the broken bread that is here in the middle. We partake of that because they believe that they're taking in part of Christ's body. Folks, that's not true. It's not His body. It's a representation of His body. And there's a key word in 1 Corinthians that tells us what we're supposed to be doing. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to remember. You see, it's a token to remember, first of all, what Jesus Christ has done for us on a cross, physically. I'm thankful for what He did on the cross. And then we're going to partake of the juice that represents His blood. And you heard me say represents. It's not His blood. We don't believe that it is. We don't believe that it changes into once we take it. No, it's just juice. But it represents, and it's for the purpose of remembrance. He said, in remembrance of me. You see, it's valuable for us as a group of believers to remember what Jesus Christ has done for us. And as we remember, then it helps us to live our lives for Him as well. And so what we're going to do tonight, normally I preach, but what we're going to do tonight is we're going to read the passage of Mark chapter 14, 15, and 16. Mark, I believe, from what I remember, of all the Gospels, we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I think Mark is the second shortest by one verse. And from what I remember, I think there's 139 verses in what we're going to read in these three chapters. I think there's one other book that only gives us 138. I think I'm close there on those. But it's not long, but Mark has a different perspective. I love Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John because the same story, but from a different perspective. You know, Matthew might have been over here, and John might have been here, and maybe Mark and Luke over here, but they're looking at the same story, but just from a different perspective. And so, as we get into it, I want you to saturate yourself into the story. Find yourself into the story and appreciate all the things that are done, maybe by the disciples, maybe the things that Jesus says, maybe the things of what He does. Appreciate what He did for you on the cross. And then, of course, as He was buried in the tomb for 3 days, then He rose again victoriously on the third day, and He is alive for you and for me to help us out through our lives, and that is such a blessing. So I'm going to try to read. I'm going to try to read with vigor and with voice, and you just do your best to just get into the story and make a difference in your life to prepare you to partake of the Lord's table here in just a few moments. So you're joining me in the Gospel of Mark. We're going to start in chapter 14, and we're going to go through the end of Mark. All right? After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. They murmured against her. Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money, and he sought how he might conveniently betray him. The first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good men of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. And his disciples went forth, came into the city, and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And in the evening he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. They began to be sorrowful and to say unto him one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? He answered and said unto them, it is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. They came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be very sore amazed and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, neither wist they what to answer him. He cometh the third time and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. And immediately, while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, and the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. He that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Jesus answered and said unto them, Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and ye took me not. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. And there followed him a certain young man, having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And the young men laid hold on him. He left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. For many bare false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain and bare false witness against him, saying, We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But neither so did their witness agree together. The high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes and saith, What need we any further witness? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him, to cover his face and to buffet him, and to say unto him, Prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. As Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, And thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither I understand I what thou sayest. He went out into the porch. The cock crew. The maids saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. And he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. The second time the cock crew, Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. Straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answering said unto them, thou sayest it. And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at that feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. Pilate answered and said again unto them, what will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the king of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him! Then Pilate said unto them, why? What evil hath he done? They cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him! And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus, when he had scourged him, to be crucified. The soldiers led him away into a hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. They compel one Simon the Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. They bring him into the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. They gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, and casting lots upon them what every man should take, and it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over, the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. They that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. They that were crucified with him reviled him. And when it was the sixth hour, when the sixth hour was come, There was a darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, Behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, Let alone. Let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. The veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, Truly, this man was the Son of God. There were also women looking on afar off. Among them was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him into Jerusalem. And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came, and went in boldly unto Pilate, and craved the body of Jesus. Pilate marveled if he were already dead. Calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew of it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he brought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone into the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices, and they that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. They said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. He saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. They went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed, neither said anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. She went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. When they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it of the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils and shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Folks, the scriptures are truly indeed wonderful. That story is good news. It's good news. You know, it's sad that so many of the people that heard right afterwards didn't believe. They didn't believe. You know, we wonder why so many people don't believe today, but I'll tell you what. A lot of people don't believe. We've got to tell them. We've got to give them evidence of somebody that God has changed. You know, people aren't just going to believe. We've got to show them what God can do in heart and life. What has God done in your life? If you're here this evening and you have trusted in Jesus Christ, God's done a lot. You know, before we receive these things, before we take them and remember what Jesus has done, let's stop and remember just for a moment what we're talking about. The Bible teaches very clearly in the Scriptures, very specifically in the book of Romans, that all are sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible clearly teaches that. You know, not only does the Bible teach that, but I think that any one of you would attest in your own life and prove the fact that we're sinners. We are sinners. And every one of us is a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's found in the book of Romans, chapter 3 and verse 23. And so we're sinners. And what does that mean? A couple chapters later, in Romans chapter 6, very clearly, again, we see something from this sin. He says, the wages of sin is death. That word death is eternal separation from an almighty God that's in heaven. It's separation from God in heaven unto a place in hell, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, a place of everlasting torment and destruction. That's the wage for a sinner. A wage is something that we work for. You understand that? If you've ever been in the workforce, you work for your pay. Well, we are at work for our pay. Our sin is working for death, everlasting destruction. That's what we're working for. But the verse doesn't end with that. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, there's more than a wage, there's a gift. The two are opposites. Maybe not completely opposites. We're both receiving something, but one is received because we have earned it. A gift is different. Yes, we're receiving something, but it's not because we have earned it. It's because we have been given it, because somebody cares, because somebody loves. It's a gift. It's something that we don't deserve. The gift of God is what? Eternal life, as opposed to eternal death and separation in hell. The gift of God is eternal life, offered to all. Eternal life through who? Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, there is the key, my friend. The key is it's through Jesus. It's not through church. It's not through good works. It's not through baptism. It's not through communion. It's not through putting money in the offering plate. It's not through raising a good family. It's not through those works. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The most famous verse in all the Bible, John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave, there's that gift word, that He gave His only begotten Son, that's Jesus, that whosoever, that's all, believeth in Him. Notice He said believeth in Him. He didn't say work for it, go to church, do this, do that, earn it. That whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. My friends, it's a gift to be received by all. The bottom line is that every one of us is sinners. Every one of us is on our way to hell. but because God loves us so much. He sent His Son Jesus to die for us on the cross. He paid the penalty. He paid the wage. All of the work is done 100%. Mark didn't record it. I believe it's in the book of John, but John records for us three words. It is finished. You see, the work is done. And all we have to do is receive it. Accept what He did on the cross is good enough for me, for you. My friends, this is not a decision that a church makes. This is not a decision that a family makes. This is not a decision that a country makes. This is a personal decision that you must make individually to accept what Jesus has done for you. So many people are unwilling to accept it for themselves. My friend, I ask you the question tonight, have you ever accepted for yourself what Jesus Christ has done for you? What's the danger in not accepting the gift? The danger in not accepting the gift is eternal damnation, hell. I don't like to say that, but folks, that's the truth. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, after this, the judgment. You see, those who have never trusted Jesus Christ will be judged for their sin and for rejecting Jesus Christ. But my friends, Jesus Christ has come before you right now, and there He is. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, I want to urge you tonight, would you trust Him? Would you trust Him tonight? It's simple. It's not your work. It's not this church. It's not your whatever, it's Jesus Christ. What will you do with Jesus? There's a song. It says, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Would you take Him? Or would you reject Him? No, not tonight. You know, I hear a lot of people say, not tonight, preacher. Not tonight, Christian. Not tonight, God. Some more convenient day. Remember the song, Almost Persuaded? Oh, what a sad song. Honestly, if you've ever paid attention to the word, that's a sad song. Hardly like to sing it. Some more convenient day. My friends, we don't know if we'll get another convenient day. The fact of the matter is this preacher has just shared with you the gospel. You're responsible for that. What will you do with Jesus? If you've never taken that gift, take it tonight. You say, preacher, what do I have to do? Do I have to do something? Do I have to come forward? Do I have to bow down? Do I have to do this? You know what? There was a person that asked in the book of Acts, what must I do to be saved? The answer, very clearly and simply put, was believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. My friend, do you believe that what Jesus Christ did on the cross was good enough? You can have Him right now if you would choose to believe. It doesn't take any special ceremony. It doesn't take any special person. Right there in your seat, you can bow right now and just say, Lord, I take the gift of eternal life. Maybe after explaining it, you're still confused and say, I don't understand. You know what, after we're done, I would love to sit down with you. If you're a guy, I'd love to sit down with the Bible and share that. If you're a lady, my wife or another lady here would love to take the Bible and just go back through it. You know, I don't want to force you, I don't want to just ram this down your throat, but I want to tell you something, something you ought to consider. And I also say this, it will change your life as well. It'll give you a new life that's worth living. And you have a purpose in life. Would you take Jesus as your personal Savior today? You say, why did you share that? Well, for a couple of reasons, but I'll tell you, we're just about ready to partake. You see, what we're going to do is we're going to pass around, first of all, some broken bread that's here. Something very simple, as I already told you. It's just a symbol of the broken body. Jesus willingly went to the cross for you. You see, because sin had to have a punishment. There had to be. And Jesus took it. I'm so grateful that he took that punishment for me. You know, that bread is symbolizing that broken body that he did, that he sacrificed for you. And in a few moments, we're going to remember what Jesus did on the cross. And we're going to thank him. God, thank you. Jesus, thank you for taking that for me. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ, you have something to thank him for. You know, if you're here tonight and you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, and honestly, you do have something to thank him for, but you've not made it personal yet. Then, after a few moments, we're going to partake of the juice that represents his blood. And there's more than just the sacrificial substitution that took place on the cross. The cross was wonderful because it took our penalty, but the blood, even more so, because it washed away your sin and put you in the position where Jesus is. He made you righteous along with him, and that person is considered a joint heir with Christ. You have been made a son of God. That's amazing. Amazing. He's put you in his place. You see, he took on him, liar, thief, murderer, whatever, on your place on the cross, and he gives you his place with that inscription, pure, holy, righteous, and just. Tremendous thoughts, folks. And these two elements are going to represent that. If you're here tonight and you've trusted in Jesus Christ, you have much to remember and thank him for. God, thank you. Who is this for? It's for Christians. You know, we're not going to watch who takes it. We're not going to police it. I'll tell you, if you're here tonight, you've never trusted in Christ, you know what? You can take it if you want, but it's not going to mean much to you. For those of you that are here, you have trusted in Christ. Oh, let it mean something to you. It's not going to do anything for you. It's not going to help you get to heaven. It's not going to make you a better Christian. But it is going to help you get your mind focused on him and what he's done for you. I'll tell you what, that thought alone is super valuable, because the more we think of what Jesus has done for us, the more it helps me to be mindful to please him in my life. So let it be beneficial to you tonight as we partake. I'm going to go ahead and ask you. The scriptures teach us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that there's a group of people that went through this and they examined themselves to make sure that they were right with the Lord before they partook. And that, of course, would be very valuable, because it was a dangerous thing to partake without being right with the Lord with others. And so I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that and be right with the Lord and look forward to what we're going to be able to remember, as we've already started remembering. As you bow your heads and close your eyes, you can go ahead and do that now. I'm going to ask those men that are going to be serving the Lord's table to come forward. And then the music will begin here in just a moment, and we'll begin to pass the elements.